Fundraising has started, and you can join great local businesses like Ebert Mayo Design, Schwab Eaton, D&R Construction, The Fridge Wholesale Liquor, and Manhattan Broadcasting in restoring a lasting legacy to a Manhattan icon. To make your donation to the Manhattan Kiwanis Bluemont Hill Project, find them online at ManhattanKSKiwanis.com.
And we're back here on News Radio KMAN Within Focus. Nick McNamara here. I've got to get my own name right. I'm here with Riley County Historical Museum Director Cheryl Collins, talking about iconic Manhattan.
Yeah, and Union Pacific Depot really is one of the big icons for me. Of course, it was a place that connected people to the important times of their life. You know, people, soldiers left for war there, students arrived and departed from college, people went on their honeymoons from there, went on vacation and business trips. I remember Jean Dallas, my old boss at the museum, telling me she had dental appointments in Kansas City. She'd take the train up to Kansas City for the going to the dentist. So, you know, you really had lots of people's lives connected significantly. We had asked for stories about the depot and how it connected to people's lives, and we got a great story from one woman. She said that her grandfather attended Kansas State in 1910. And, of course, Manhattan was a dry town. We have a long tradition of prohibition here. And grandfather planned a trip to Kansas City for the weekend with the idea of laying in a stock of alcoholic beverages. So his fraternity brothers put in their orders, and he went to Kansas City, and numerous bottles were packed in a suitcase for the return trip to Manhattan. And when he arrived at the depot at Manhattan, he disembarked just behind a college dignitary. And unfortunately, the handle on his suitcase gave out, and there was no mistaking what had been in that suitcase. Ooh. So grandfather got dismissed from school in disgrace and went home to his parents, who were not sympathetic. So he fled to Illinois to lie low with his relatives and met and fell in love with grandmother. And so this person had told us that if that suitcase handle hadn't broken at the depot, that her grandparents probably never would have met and never would have gotten married. She wouldn't be here today. So she had a really strong connection with the Union Pacific Depot. And I think lots of people have stories like that of how that depot was part of their lives.
Yeah, it probably worked out the best for them, I guess, in the long run.
Well, I'm not sure grandfather thought it was working out so good when he got kicked out of school, and his parents were probably furious. But in the long run, and I guess life is like that. Sometimes, you know, things happen that don't seem so good, and eventually you work through it.
And if you have any other stories like that, feel free to call in 785-537-1350. You know, I still take the train. If I have to travel, I take the train. I've done it from California to Kansas numerous times now.
So how did that work? How long does it take you to get from California to Kansas?
34 hours or so.
But you don't have to be driving, so you can read or,
yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can read, you can sleep, you can, you know, they have an observation car on some of these, on a lot of these trains, so you can just kind of hang out
watch
there.
Watch the countryside.
Exactly.
And it's cheap.
It is.
Comparatively speaking,
oh, yeah,
yes.
Definitely. You save some money.
You can probably get there, what, $150?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
If you buy in advance especially, you can get even cheaper than that.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
I really didn't know that.
Yeah, you can
that.
Just get on board in Topeka and go.
Yeah.
You do have to get on board in the middle of the night, don't you?
If you're leaving from Kansas, yes. Because it leaves, the train that I usually take runs from Chicago to L.A. And they'll leave around 6 p.m. in Chicago. When they depart from either, junction, they leave at 6 p.m. So if you leave in L.A., it's 6 p.m. And if you leave in Chicago, it'll be 6 p.m. So they'll get to Topeka around midnight or so.
Okay. And so does that goes through Kansas and not the route through North Platte, Nebraska?
No.
That route?
Not North Platte. It runs through Kansas. It does like the tiny touch of Colorado and then New Mexico, Nevada, a bit of Nevada.
Yeah, it's the Southern Chief route, I think, is what it's called.
Yeah, Southwest Chief.
Okay. And, you know, that's one that they're considering cutting.
They're going to cut multiple stops through Kansas.
That would be too
bad.
Well,
we lost our passenger service here in 1971. So that's when no more passenger service. And then our last freight service was 1984. And so that's a significant loss when you lose that connection to the railroad.
We have about 5 minutes left. So I know you've got more, and I've got some other icons. So we're going to have to run through those pretty quickly.
Yes, yes, yes. I need those.
If you haven't already put them on. So what's left on your list?
Well, I just brought the Wareham Hotel to talk about, but I'd rather hear some iconic suggestions so that I have those in mind for October 3rd Historic Summit.
Nichols Hall, Nichols Castle, Nichols Gymnasium, however you want to refer to that. Also, Ahern Field House.
Yes. I had some historic moments in...
I know it's not in the city limits, but Rocky Ford.
Okay.
I also have on my list the Kimball Castle.
I had that one. That was a suggestion I got as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And one that I think is a new icon. It's only 5 years old. And that's the statue of Bill Snyder up at the football stadium.
Ah.
Because, I mean, you go every aspect, I mean, every time frame from the moment gates open to the time they close, there are people taking their picture with Coach Snyder's statue there in front of the stadium.
That, the selfie index, I mean, that would be kind of a rule of thumb on what's iconic to people.
Yeah.
Because if it's important, they're taking their picture.
That's why
it.
I brought that up, because it just seems like, you know, there's, I mean, of course, the entire football complex is gorgeous. But for me, that seems to be a little bit more iconic because of the man.
Yes. Well, I love the Ernie Barrett statue, too.
Yeah, yeah.
I always enjoy it.
He's iconic in his own respect. So.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
So those were some that, and I think we've pretty much gotten everything. You did mention briefly Johnny Caw.
And Johnny definitely, in my book, should be on the list, too.
Yeah. So, Nick, when your family's here, you got to do the Johnny Caw selfie.
Gotta.
And maybe send them back with a Johnny Caw bobblehead.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. Available at the CVB.
I had one that I didn't necessarily hear mentioned. Pillsbury Crossing.
Yes.
Very good.
I haven't been there, but I hear it's a bit fun. People like to post up in their trucks in the river there.
You know, and the discussion, we, you know, and I kind of went outside the city limits.
And that's fine.
But, you know, and then, of course, you know, the Kanza is something else. And goodness, there really
that Flint Hills landscape.
Yes,
it really is kind of a central part of our place, a major connection spot for us. That yes, excellent suggestions, wonderful suggestions.
Did you mention Damon Runyon?
He's an interesting guy with a strong connection to Manhattan,
mm-hmm.
and his brother's buried in Sunset Cemetery, so he's another relative of a famous person.
Damon Runyon wrote Guys and Dolls, legendary musical. He's a longtime sports writer. And his home is along 4th Street.
How about that?
Mm-hmm. So is it 4th and Osage?
Interesting family. His dad was a newspaper man and a very interesting fellow himself. Yeah, and it's right opposite from the senior center. At 4th and Osage.
Yeah.
We seem to have a lot of iconic radio and news folks around these parts.
Oh, yes. I think that's absolutely right. Gordon Jump.
Gordon Jump's the one that stands out.
Great connection to K-Man Radio. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. On a national basis, he's probably the one that stands out the most.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously. Obviously.
And, of course, we have our own Dave Lewis.
Yes, absolutely.
I still don't have a statue. Wartell. Still no statue.
We Lowell can work Jack. On that. I think Lowell of Lowell is, Jack every week. Of course, he was a outstanding local historian and was the originator of the developing the Larry Norville band shell in City Park. And he was one of the ones that spearheaded building the new Riley County Historical Museum. So the building I work in every day is... sort of a monument.
He also had quite a bit to do, I think, with Johnny Caw.
Yes.
Being established. Yeah.
Well,
so.
I would say any major community effort from the time he got here until his death, yes, he was there. So he's sort of an icon. We could talk about some iconic people of the past as well one of these days.
That's a whole nother show.
That is for sure.
You know, because there's some K-Staters. Christy Alley went to K-State.
Right.
And then there's this Eric Stone Street guy.
And lots of lots of people that are a little less well known, but influential in huge ways in different fields. So
a lot of K-Staters on that list.
Yes, lots, lots and lots.
Then we have one of the nation's highest ranked military members ever in General Myers as our president.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and we have lots of generals connected to K-State.
Well, Cheryl, thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
It was an educational day for me, and I'm sure I hope the listeners got as much out of it as I did.
Well, come to the Historic Summit October 3rd, and you'll learn lots more.
All right. You can find this this episode archived on our website, newsradiokman.com, under On Demand. Go down to the In Focus tab. Thank you very much. See you next time.
Tomorrow, city discussion. We'll have a preview of Manhattan City Commission meeting with Mayor Linda Morris and City Manager Ron Fear. Thanks, Nick. It's now 10 a.m. at KMAN. Good morning.
Shop local. From flooring to inspiration to expert advice,